morning. I'll convene the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors this morning and call on Mr. Shinoda to do the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful just to be in your presence today. We are grateful for the things that you do and the way you bless us in a variety of ways. I just want to say thank you for your protection over our firefighters and our law enforcement and those who are serving this community during this fire. And Father, we know that they've worked hard to take care of these things. We're also grateful that we've been able to celebrate the independence of our nation. And it is important that we recall and remember all the good things. And we strive, even as we look ahead, to improve on what we already have. I pray for our Board of Supervisors today and whatever decisions they need to make. I pray for our county staff and the hard work that they put in to make everything operate. And many times it's a thankless job. But God, we thank them, and we are grateful. And thank you for the citizens who come to participate. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wendy, roll call.
All righty. Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Kopseth.
Here.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren. And Supervisor Haupt.
Haupt, here.
Thank you.
Good. Item 4, presentations from the public. It's time slot for information from the public. No action or discussion can be conducted on matters presented at this time. You're allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. I can extend that to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. And when addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. I'd also like to remind those online and those in the audience that be respectful with your comments. If not, they'll likely be cut short. Mr. Oh, yes.
Good morning.
I don't know what the dog is these days. You're everywhere. I understand you want to do a fire update on the public comment.
Yes, sir. Board, my name is Brian Shoney. I'm the director of OES. I just want to give you a quick update on our fire situation today. So as of today, our lava fire is at 25,001 acres, 72% contained. All the evacuations have been downgraded to warnings, and they have a really good containment on them. And they're going to continue airdrops and water retardant drops throughout the day. We also have a lot of hand crews on the upper side by the closed forest for both Klamath and Shasta Trinity Forest has been closed. The Tennant Fire, which is 10,614 acres, 57% contained. As you know, Highway 97 has been open both ways with traffic. And looking at that, has been downgraded to all warning. All orders have been downgraded to warnings, and all warnings have been taken away. The Salt Fire, which is our concern right now, which is at 12,430 acres and is moving towards the HERS and Delta Fire scars, is at 20% contained, and most of the resources that were on the lava fire are now being moved down to the Salt Fire to help fight that fire. I just want to let you know that our EOC is being downgraded to a level 2, so we're going to start working virtually and helping out, get our folks back to work, just because we know this is going to be a long fire season, and I don't want to burn anybody out. And more importantly, I would like to say thank you for your support and allowing our community to continue on with pushing forward in the emergency services. It's been very crucial for myself to have the support of the board and the support of the community to protect the folks here in Siskiyou County. So it's been my absolute pleasure to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for the updates, the regular updates. I appreciate that.
Of course, absolutely. Any other questions? Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Next speaker I have is Eric Berg. And I remind everybody that if you do want to speak, please fill out a blue card so that I can recognize you.
Howdy, folks. Thank you for listening to me today. My name is Eric Berg, and I wanted first to alert the board that if I may approach the clerk for a second, the law firm of Wanger Jones provided by email some things for the board's consideration related to the ordinances banning the local ranches from providing water to the Shasta Vista subdivision and neighboring properties, and also outline the water trucks from providing that water. I represent the Spencer Ranch and the Spencer family. Shannon Spencer is here. She's asked me to speak on her behalf because she doesn't really like to speak publicly, but I think her sister is also going to be here today, and I think her mom is planning on talking via Zoom, so she's probably in the queue to do that. I would urge the board here today to take a step back from all of these ordinances banning water being provided to the Hmong community and other neighboring communities, Shasta Vista subdivision, and other neighbors of the Spencer Ranch and the other ranches in the Montague area. I'd urge you to consider taking a step back and putting off any enforcement of these ordinances, at least until you consider the environmental consequences of these ordinances. I don't think that that perhaps it was considered at all what the environmental consequences would be of the ordinances, and I think we should see the CEQA requirements as an opportunity, not an obstacle, to allow the board to know exactly what the consequences are of these water bans and what might be done to improve these ordinances.
30 seconds.
If I could ask for a couple of minutes and take a little bit of Ms. Spencer's time as well, but I'll speed it up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that there is a fair argument that this ban on water sales will turn farmland into wasteland, will turn homes into smoldering ash. In fact, the law of fire may have already done so. There are ways to accomplish the legitimate aims of the board without such severe environmental consequences, and ways to bring the entire community together so that everyone may prosper instead of allowing a community of 4,000 to 8,000 people to basically burn down or to be starved out. Just 2 days ago, Cal Fire came to the Spencer Ranch, and they told Shannon Spencer that they were told by someone, we assume the sheriff, they were not to get water from the Spencer Ranch to put out the fires in the area. Cal Fire was told not to get water to put out the fires from the Spencer Ranch, even though for three generations, Shannon Spencer and her parents and her grandparents had always given water freely to the government anytime it was needed to put out the fires. I think Cal Fire took water anyway, even though they were told not to, and Ms. Spencer was more than happy to give them as much water as they wanted and needed to try to put out the fires. This Hmong community, Shasta Vista subdivision, was essentially invited by the county to buy property there. There were easements for the use of water there. This was established as a subdivision. And once these folks moved in, and tried to make it their home, they were basically cut off from water. I think that the law and this county should not force...
30 seconds.
Should not force the neighbors to turn away their neighbors, especially in time of need. Certainly should not force them to go without water when they need it to put out the fire in their home, or they need it to grow their crops, and, or they need it to live. Thank you.
Thank you. And given that, I guess I'll call Sharon Spencer.
I had him talk for me.
Okay. She gave me her time.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I have Peter from Wairika.
My name is Peter Tao. Good morning, Board of Supervisors and its staff. Again, my name is Peter Tao. As I have mentioned in my last speech, we are only seeking peace, not war or enemies. Today, I continue to speak to you with heavy heart. That's what you have witnessed within the past week of the fire incident. Whether it's natural cause or arson, it is yet to be determined. As it was posted on social media of the threats that our community will be burned down, I am sure that the community at large are fully aware that most of our properties, our life savings, have been burned down to the ground. Some non-Asian citizens may be happy to the extreme, but please take a few moments to think as if you were in our situation. I'm sure some American citizens have tasted the medicines that we are going through at this very difficult moment now. The whole entire week, we have waited for the Board of Supervisors to at least come out and say one single word of support to our community. But all of you fell out of trust and confidence, especially Mr. Kossip, who claimed to represent our district. The wait we felt was like waiting for God. Is there really a God in this community? This is the question we would like to ask. Please let me add, not to mention the loss of properties, but a human life was taken in the hand of an officer. Countless rounds of bullets was fired directly to the man who tried to save his life possession, but yet his life was gunned down by a police officer in a short distance of his widow and children. As a community, we would like to demand an intensive investigation from an outside source of this incident rather than an internal review. Since the very beginning of the placement of this injustice and corrupted water
orders,
along with other unfair racial profiling, we raised up to a fire zone within our community. We are patiently asking for the resolve of our water necessity need, but yet got no help. We continue to express our willingness to work with you, and our feeling about the water ordinance has not changed. We have felt that it is inhumane to deny our people from having access to water. It is unjust and unfair the way the governing body in this town have been treating us along with the sheriff department. Before this situation becomes completely out of hand, we are asking for one last time, please end this unfair and unjust and inhuman water ordinance. But if should give us no further options but to take it to a national level, we will take this water ordinance to the next level. Again, please take this consideration seriously in, to your utmost superior decision before any finalized decision be made today. Thank you.
Edward Zendry.
Good morning. My name is Ed Zendry. Just two brief reports. I'm going to add something to what Mr. Burke said about Shannon Spencer being making water available to CAL FIRE and it not being made. Steve Grissett also made his well available to CAL FIRE and they did not take advantage of it. We can only conclude that was for political reasons. You know that those two wells probably the most highest producing wells in the county and could have supplied all the fire equipment that was needed. The other quick report I want to make is that on a week ago Monday, residents at Shasta Vista were told by deputy sheriffs that CAL FIRE would not come in to Shasta Vista until all the people were out. And the reports I have is they didn't go in Monday. I don't know, I can't confirm all that. But I can confirm that on Tuesday afternoon I was in Shasta Vista. And I followed the Hmong firefighters putting the valiantly fighting every thing that they could in there. There was no guns, there was no one trying to protect grows, they were simply trying to stop the fire and protect homes. And at the same time, I did encounter CAL FIRE staged in the area, not actively fighting the fire. And I observed that myself, and I want to report that to the board. Thank you.
Georgie Zendry. Is that correct, Georgie?
That is. I get the other half of him.
Okay.
Georgie Zendry is my name. I'm pretty much an expert on the Hmong. For 21, 22 years, my husband Ed and I have been involved in the ongoing genocide of the Hmong in the jungles of Laos. We got captured ourselves in 2005. Our embassy had to come rescue us and get find us and then get us out of there. So I know a lot about Hmong. When we first got involved here, we went up to Shasta Vista, and I have to tell you, I was alarmed at the growths. I thought, oh my gosh, what is this? The big canopies, the hundreds of groves. And then I stepped back and I had to look at the people. Who are these people that are growing? And I found two sets of people here. One was younger, they're growers. One was the older. Every one of the older ones were veterans from the CIA, United States Secret Army Insider Class. So then after that, we begin to do a statistic. How many people are in Shasta Vista that are with this older generation that fought for the United States? And it was over 80%. 80% of them fought for the United States. So this is how to maybe look at it. They fought for the U.S. When we were overthrown in 1975, they fled to the jungles. Then they made their way by swimming mostly across the Mekong River. And then they were in refugee camps for sometimes 5 to 10 years. And a refugee camp is a big area fenced in with barbed wire at the top of it. Then they made their way to France, Australia, to the United States, and that's what we have here. So when you look at Shasta Vista, you see tons of older people. I don't know the amount. It could be 4,000, 5,000. They're very isolated. They come there because that's their little Hmong home. So I'm going to ask the audience today, which is mostly Hmong in here, how many of you were in a refugee camp inside Laos, or inside of Thailand?
Ma'am.
Raise your hand.
Ma'am, please address me.
Okay, so you see how many were there. They live on Shasta Vista, and they are not always cognitive of our laws. They're just not. They come from refugee camps. I found four that were up there, at least four or five, that were from Takao, the very last refugee camp before it closed in 2005.
14 seconds.
So I ask you to consider these people. Yes, there's growers up there, and the Hmong leaders would like to work with you to be able to get the growers out. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. I don't have any other cards, so that's right. Are there people waiting outside, do you know?
There's no one outside.
All right, then I'll go to online.
We do have comments. Mr. Nick Joslin, you may unmute, and it is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
I'm Nick Joslin, Mount Shasta, California. The audio is pretty bad on the Zoom. Tough to hear Mr. Howe, especially. I was calling in this morning to bring attention to the Shasta River. This comes on the heels of the Fish and Wildlife recommending 50 CFS in stream flow to be obtained voluntarily. And at this time, currently flow at the Wairika gauge is sitting somewhere around 8 CFS. It's a pretty big wake-up call that something probably more than voluntary action is going to need to be done in order to get more water in the river. I think I've heard from at least one source that on paper there's 600 cubic feet a second of water promised in that river. And this is a river whose base flow might be 100 to 150 in the summer. The river is totally over-allocated, and if there's going to be voluntary action to get that 50 CFS, they're going to have to be pretty dramatic action. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'd like to, you know, say that, reiterate the fact that please limit your comments to jurisdiction of this board. River flows are under the jurisdiction of the state, and they're administered by the Department of Water Resources and U.S. the California Fish and Game, as well as the adjudications are administered by the Superior Court of Siskiyou County. This board does not have jurisdiction over the river flows.
We do have another comment. Number ending in 2590. You should be able to unmute, and it is your turn to speak.
Yes, good morning. This is Raza Lawrence. I'm an attorney at the Margolin & Lawrence Law Firm, and I'm one of the attorneys who's representing a group of Hmong people in a pending federal case seeking an injunction against enforcement of these new water regulations. In the case, we're alleging violation of federal constitutional rights, due process, and equal protection of the law, and also unreasonable searches and seizures. We're respectfully asking the Board of Supervisors today to temporarily stop enforcement of these laws in light of the recent fire and emergency situation, as well as the thousands of people who have been denied access to water for basic living needs. These rules are creating a humanitarian crisis in the Hmong community and a serious strain of the relationship between law enforcement and the community, with no apparent benefit for the county. And in addition to the inability to fight fire under these water restrictions, the Hmong people now have no access to water for drinking, cooking, bathing, washing clothes and dishes, flushing toilets, watering food crops, and nourishing livestock. And I understand that thousands of Hmong people in and around the Shasta Vista subdivision were put under mandatory evacuation orders last week due to the fire, and that many of them were trying to work tirelessly to help put out the fires, while CAL FIRE was not engaged in any active firefighting efforts. These water restrictions have made it impossible for the Hmong people to be able to fight fires in their community, and as we're getting into fire season, this problem is likely to recur. Buildings have already burned down unnecessarily due to these restrictions. Just the day after they were passed, two residences burned down to the ground after the fires had burned for 45 minutes with no water trucks able to get to them to put them out. Also, during the evacuation of Shasta Vista last week, a Hmong man was shot and killed by Siskiyou County sheriffs I don't know all the facts of the situation, but I think it's safe to say it arose out of very strained relationships between the sheriffs and the community, where many Hmong people feel that they're being unfairly targeted by these laws, and that the sheriffs and the county are trying to essentially drive them out of the community. It feels to them like they're being collectively punished due to the actions of some people who are committing misdemeanor crimes by growing cannabis without a license. Now, the county has documented other cannabis cultivations all throughout the county in different regions, but these other areas are not being subjected to the water truck ban, which only applies to certain roads near Hmong communities. It adheres to the community that these laws are discriminatory in their application and enforcement. I think the real issue contributing to the water shortage other crops such as almonds. I don't believe that unlawful cannabis cultivation is what's causing the water shortage. And this whole restrictions appear to be based on an illusory problem and then with no reason to justify the ordinance. We've received reports of Hmong people in the community taking desperate steps to access water, and with animals dying, people can't bathe, no water for drinking, and people are traveling long distances just to get little jugs of water over and over. This situation is just not sustainable. We're asking the county respectfully to voluntarily stop enforcing these water rules to avoid unnecessary litigation, denial of access to water for basic living needs, and further straining of relations between the community and law enforcement. Thank you.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know, this fire is not managed by the county. This is a federal fire in conjunction with CAL FIRE. It's their jurisdiction. The role that the sheriff plays in conjunction with that team is evacuations. I just want to make that clear. We don't direct fire operations from the county.
We do have another comment online.
Call her online.
Number ending in 9474. You can unmute and make your public comment.
Hello, my name is Ginger Cimito. I live out in Big Spring. I would like to thank all the men and women of every agency, the firefighters, the county employees, the CHP, and the sheriff's department, whose self-sacrificing bravery place this community's safety as their priority. I hope you all know you deserve to feel every bit of pride and honor for how amazing and heroic you are. And I would like to share with the Board of Supervisors what I heard, seen, and experienced during this event. On my scanner, I heard pleas for help by firefighters to remove people who were hampering their ability to access fire areas. I heard the scanner's voice of concern for the safety of those accessing the areas and the blockage of roads they needed for escape routes for themselves. I heard people which were told to evacuate were interfering with our brave personnel performing a very dangerous task. From my home, I heard a war zone of exploding propane tanks and flammable chemicals, and I felt the windows rattle on my house and seen the fire exploding, reaching 500 to 600 feet in the air, and I prayed hard for the safety of everyone in that area, including the mother. Later, I seen racing vehicles running roadblocks, taking personnel from their assigned positions running into a dangerous active fire area and jeopardizing the officers in pursuit. Lastly, on my security camera, I seen pictures of multiple people who were walking back into the evacuated area, some in shorts, some in with flip-flops, but all illegally entering. First thought was of looters. After all, what other reason would people enter an active fire aid area when told not to? Now I have seen on social media how the very people who were told to stay out of a fire zone were fighting these fires within this area. Every picture was of shorts and tennis shoes in an area where they were not supposed to be.
There 30 seconds.
Are still burning fumes of toxic material back there and iceberg canisters, all unknown dangers awaiting those areas not cleared to enter. These are not brave individuals, but dangerous inhibitors interfering with official business. This type of action prolongs fire offensive procedures from continuing, such as airdrops. This is dangerous to everyone, and yet another violation.
Time.
We, the citizens of this community, believe, I got 1 second, please let me finish.
Go ahead.
We, the citizens of this community, believe that continued organized crime in this area is going to continue to endanger the public. And we stand with our county and sheriff and all their efforts to curtail. Again, I would like to thank all of those involved in this fire. Thank you for your bravery and your service. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see no other comments online.
Okay. Any other? Is that the ball?
There is one more comment on online.
Okay.
Number ending in 5737, you can unmute and it is your turn to speak.
This is Sherry Ellison, and I'm standing up for the Ellison Family Ranch, and the suit is really against the Ellison Family Ranch. My great-grandfather, George Washington Arbaugh, homesteaded here in Edgewood in 1854. My father, David R. E. Ellison, cleared all this land, and this farm is his family's dream. We have survived here for 4 generations. I was 16 when the irrigation well was drilled. This ordinance has stripped us of our rights. Water is a primary resource of our business. We have aided in contributing water to fires in the past and still continue to do so. Water is a business because we take our own primary resource away. It limits us to what we can and can't do with our own resources. Not fair to us as a private business owner. We have 220 head of cows and crops of hay that feed many people and animals. Many businesses are being threatened by this ordinance. The 100 gallon of water ordinance severely restricts the amount of water for people to live on and forces them to make several trips, causing heavy traffic on A-12. Our main concern is to keep our family business running so my father's dream can continue to live on for generations to come. So be it, so mote it be, amen. And that concludes my speech.
All right, thank you. Anything else?
Sorry. I see no other comments online.
All right. Anybody out there?
No, sir.
All right. I see none in the hall. You know, before I move on, I've heard a lot today. One thing I want to make a public comment I want to make is everybody's welcome in this county if you follow the law. And all we ask for anyone is obey the laws of the county. The first law to obey is you can't grow more than 12 plants if you're a grower. The second is, in order to be a legal resident of the county, you have to take out a building permit, you have to drill a well, you have to build a home, you have to have septic service. Anything less than that, I don't know what you're being told, but anything less than that is not legal either in the county or in the state of California. And I'm going to leave it at that. I move on to consent agenda, item 5A through Y. The board wish to pull any of these items.
Do the emergency proclamations need to be removed? Did you have some updated ones? That would be O under Health and Human Services, Public Health.
Correct. If we could please pull item O and P, I'm sorry, O, only O, from the consent agenda.
Okay.
And I'm not, what is it, emergency, what are we talking about?
It's It's a proclamation for the emergency of the fire.
Okay. So, all right. That's
what she's referring to.
All right. Thank you.
Nothing else is being pulled. Move to approve the balance of the consent agenda minus O.
Second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Wendy?
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Excuse me. Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Next, I think we have an update from Public Health on COVID.
Correct. Angela Davis, County Administrator. Good morning, Board. The current vaccination information is we have a current inventory of Pfizer of 5,136. Moderna of 870, and Janssen of 525, with a total of 6,531 doses available. Currently, we have individuals who are fully vaccinated at 15,453. Individuals who are partially vaccinated, meaning that they've received their first shot, is 2,629, with a total doses administered of 32,742. This equates to 34.3% of residents are fully vaccinated at this time, 39% of the eligible population are fully vaccinated, and 6% are partially vaccinated. And so eligible residents fully vaccinated by region, the North is 31%, South is 42%, East 38%, and West is 28%. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
I guess not. I had to back up a minute. Are we going to put O back up again with discussion? Or?
I was just going to mention that, yes. Thank you.
Please do something. Let's go back to O.
Yeah. Okay. Angela Davis, County Administrator. With regards to O, we have two proclamations from the Siskiyou County Health Officer with regard to the re-entry as well as the cleanup of the lava fire and tenant fire. The two items that were within the board packet have been updated specifically with the date of the start of the fire. So that was changed or modified to June 24, 2021. On both those documents that you have in your packet. And we do have them here available for the public view.
And then you had emailed them to me as well.
Correct.
Thank
and
you.
They were emailed to the county clerk's office. So that was the only change on those two declarations from the public health officer. Okay.
And that was the fire start date.
Correct.
That's what was changed. Thank you.
Move to approve with the amendment.
Second.
I have a motion and a second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, thank you. I'm going to go to item B, County Council.
Yes, this is a resolution that I asked to put on. It is a resolution making findings of fact in support of an ordinance which we've had a first reading on and which we're having a second reading on today pertaining to copy fees, the purpose of which is to enable a county to recover a larger portion of the costs associated with complying with the Public Records Act. Currently, we are only allowed to collect costs associated with the direct costs associated with copying of records, which is to say somebody standing in front of a copy machine for whatever period of time it takes to make the copies, which nowadays is frequently zero because a lot of times we just send them out electronically. The real costs and time is associated with finding the records, reviewing the records, redacting the records, and this frequently involves IT, it frequently involves the sheriff's office, it frequently involves my office, and it frequently involves highly paid individuals within these offices. As a consequence, we are often put in a situation where hours and hours and hours, which probably collectively can add up to weeks of time, is spent responding to Public Records Act requests
and the county recovers little to none of that expense. And I can tell you, I can personally vouch for the fact that I've seen situations in my office where a highly paid attorney in my office has probably spent collectively days on end responding to individual Public Records Act requests. And that's time that she doesn't have to devote to other really pressing matters. I can tell you that I, who is very highly paid, have spent a lot of time looking over records, redacting records, checking them for attorney-client privilege, etc. And that's time I don't have to devote to really pressing matters. And the county's paying a lot of money for me, for my deputy, for the IT department, for sheriff deputies, etc. And we don't, and the county doesn't have that, doesn't get to collect for that expense. Moreover, a lot of the times these requests are being made not by concerned citizens. Those type of requests are almost always fairly quickly able to be complied with. A lot of times these really burdensome requests are coming from private law firms looking for an excuse to sue the county. They're being made by private corporations, more often not out of state, so they don't pay any California taxes. And they gather the information for their own profit-making motives. And sometimes the requests, and we've got one now, which is extremely time-consuming, are being made by private firms, law firms, involved in or about to be involved in litigation against the county. And this is a way in which they're able to supplement the discovery process. We don't get to make that type of supplemental discovery request upon them, but they get to make it upon us. So the objective here is not to limit Public Record Act requests. It's not to limit access by any means. Nothing in this affects the ability of people to ask for records and receive those records. All this ordinance does in this resolution supports is the concept that at least a higher percentage of the true cost to the county, meaning the taxpayers of Siskiyou County, be recoverable by charging those who are seeking the records to pay the cost of getting those records. And to the point that, well, there are a lot of people who don't have a lot of money and who are just wanting transparency in their government, obviously fully in support of transparency in the government. And the first 2 hours of time spent looking for records is not charged. And I can tell you, just from over 24 years of experience working for public entities, in the vast majority of cases, when you've got a concerned citizen who just wants to look at a document, you know, they want transparency, they're concerned about an issue, that type thing can be found quickly and easily, and in most instances, that person wouldn't be charged anything. And for that reason, we're asking this resolution be supported.
Okay, before I go to the board, I received one comment email on this from Ms. Ann Marsh, and I forwarded that to the clerk.
Yes, and I made copies of that as well. I can hand them out now, or I can hand them out during the public hearing for the second reading. And there's a little bit of everything in here. There's some other comments as well. I tried to forward these on this as well as get that to Brandon. Thank you.
And we do have comments online too.
Okay. Specific comments to this resolution. We'll unmute you so you can speak.
And Mr. Nick Jocelyn, it is your turn to speak on this item specifically.
Yeah, I'm not out of California. Still having a hard time hearing supervisors on the Zoom call. With respect to increasing fees or PRA requests, I wanted to draw attention to a case, National Lawyers Guild versus City of Hayward in 2020, that found the city can charge for the copy fees for the actual cost of equipment and the person to run it, but beyond that, additional fees run afoul of the law. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Councilor, can you address that? I've heard that brought up multiple times as case law that would influence this.
Yeah, there's case law that indicates absent a a fee resolution allowing for recovery of this sort, you are only allowed to recover the direct costs of making copies. And so unless you pass this supplemental authority for collecting fees, you're not allowed to do so. And that's the reason we're doing this. I'm aware of other counties who have done so and have done so for decades. And there's an attorney general opinion directly on point. They were asked the question of whether we are allowed as a public entity to collect a cost beyond that of simply making copies. And the answer is, if you've passed an ordinance authorizing, the answer is yes, according to the attorney general.
All right, thank you. Another caller online?
One other comment. Number ending in 2131, you may unmute, and it is your turn to speak.
My name is Ann Marsh. I did write that letter, and I would like to add that what County Council Kiernan just said about the Attorney General's opinion has, in that opinion, he states that they must be reasonable. I requested in my letter in June the 13th that a study be made to show how these new charges are being done to show the reasonableness of them. That has not been done. This is just an end run to keep people from working with the California Environmental Quality Act, which a requirement of is that we the people, not the state, not the counties, enforce that act. And in order to do so, if we even want to file an appeal at the Planning Commission level, we must obtain copies. Of course the county doesn't want to fight any more lawsuits, and I can totally understand that. But there's no benefit to the public by this proposed ordinance, and these findings that have been made are totally without merit. They have no substance whatsoever. There's nothing to back up the statements made within the findings. There's no numbers, no facts to show which departments are being affected and which categories of the groups are being affected. And finally, I'd like to say, as I said in my letter, that I totally object to the language used. There is no cause to accuse anybody of anything in a resolution by a county that is representing the people and doing the people's business. There is no cause to accuse people of bringing whatever kind of lawsuits that statement was against the county. It's just not necessary. I'd like to see a kinder, gentler, I guess, county administration here doing the work of the people and working with the people and assisting them in upholding the
30
environmental
seconds.
Law to protect our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your opinion. I'm going to come back to the board.
Sure.
Go ahead.
You know, one of the things I think that's kind of lost in this, we also, as a powers that be, trying to streamline the process, looking for software to kind of speed up the process, if you will. So there's an offset to this. It's not like, you know, we're standing there trying to charge 500 sheets of paper. We're trying to consolidate it, and there is a cost to doing business. And unfortunately, costs are not what they were back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. They're pretty expensive at this point. So I support the move. Thank you.
Else?
Move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren? And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
County Council, item C. Six C for those of you online.
And this is a proposal to contract with a outside law firm to do some of our enforcement with respect to cannabis ordinances. This is the law firm Margaret Long. She has a contract with other counties. We've discussed this before, and this is a contract with her firm, which would enable her to assist us in our enforcement efforts. The hope is, in the long run, it'll be self-sustaining. That has been the case with respect to her firm providing services in other counties.
Questions of the board? Any public comment?
Seeing none online.
I tell folks online, I don't know why you can't hear me. The microphone's 3 inches from my lips. It's got to be something technical that I can't overcome here in the courtroom.
Well, let me just say this. Unfortunately, I do enough Zoom calls. It's hit and miss sometimes. I get this comment, not from me personally, but from other people online. Mm. I think it's just because where they're located and the way it gets there, so to speak.
Okay.
Don't take it personal.
Move to approve item 6C.
I'm the chair, so.
I better find humor here, right? Otherwise,
I'll second. I have a motion and a second on this.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopstedt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Helft?
Aye.
Thank you.
County Administration, Ms. Davis.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Today before you, the recommendation is to appoint Mr. Thomas Deeney as the Director of Public Works, effective July 11th at the Step 5 of the salary schedule. We held continuous recruitment as well as interviewing of several candidates, and he rose to the top. And we are asking today, or I am asking today, that we appoint him as the Director of Public Works.
Discussion.
Any questions?
Yes. Were there any supervisors involved in the selection process at all?
There were two supervisors who attended the meet and greet. I held a meet and greet with the Department of Public Works, and we did have two supervisors attend to meet with Mr. Deeney personally.
Were they weren't involved in an interview, so to say?
No, I had a one-on-one with him.
No, I just think for
transparency. And probed him a bit, before he went.
I wouldn't say it was a formal interview, but it definitely would have swayed the decision depending upon the input from the supervisors, absolutely.
Sure. And my understanding is this person does not have public works experience in what I would associate equipment handling, and he's more of a manager type.
Correct. He has extensive experience in management as well as a degree in operations management. However, he does have extensive experience with manufacturing of parts and other type of products, so it actually translates to public works. I think the transition would be very seamless.
So I guess the only final comment I would make is that it's unfortunate that, we are in a tough market when it comes to hiring any kind of talent. Unfortunately, in public works, this has been acute for years. If you recall, I think Supervisor Kopstedt was the only one who was on the board when we elevated Mr. Wade up, because we had gone out more than one time. Having said that, I do think that we need to raise the bar. Whatever it is, the track, what we specifically need, that's what I support. I hope that we're not settling for something.
No.
This obviously is a decision being made at the management level, so I'll leave it at that.
And I will say, this was not the only interview. We actually interviewed several candidates, and like I said, he rose to the top. And I will say that during this process, it became very apparent that within the Department of Public Works, we have numerous experts in the field. And so we are relying heavily on them during this transition. So we have tenured employees, and I'm incredibly thankful and grateful for their abilities throughout this whole process, because it has been trying for them. And so I just wanted to recognize that, as the department has truly stepped up and their expertise has been shown on a daily basis.
What's the probation period for this?
1 year. Okay. Well, actually, it's an exempt employee, so there really isn't a probationary period. So let me clarify that. Because it's an exempt position, at any given time, the board may choose to separate.
So with that said...
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to see a pretty good candidate withdraw their name, who looked pretty promising. And I'm also sorry to see that no one locally who I anticipated stepping up and putting in an application didn't do so. With that said, I met with him and his excellent managerial experience. I would request, I guess, that the board have him in closed session at maybe quarterly period so that we can evaluate performance going forward, because it does serve the pleasure of the board, especially during the first year.
Mm-hmm. And throughout his tenure.
Right, and this is particularly critical for the first year. And,
correct.
Because this department has a lot of tentacles, if you
yes.
will.
Yes, it does.
In accounting, and it's a critical position for mm-hmm. us, and I want to treat it as such.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I respect it, and yes, we will definitely make sure that there is a quarterly or even more, depending upon situations or incidents that arise. I'm absolutely open and also a firm believer in accountability, and so he knows that. He's fully aware of that. And so, also, I would like to mention that he is a local candidate, which bodes well because he has family, he knows the area extensively, and so that actually helps with the transition of location.
Okay. Also, like I say, I know he did a meet and greet with the county employees as well, and mm-hmm. personally, I didn't get any feedback from any county employees mm-hmm. with that visit. Mm-hmm. Is there any other discussion? I'll move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobstaff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. Next, I think, is yours, Wendy.
It is. I've got some paperwork to hand out, though, here. This is an email that relates to this item. If you could hand those down.
For those online, we're looking at a possible appeal and scheduling of that.
These came to me first thing this morning, but I was headed over here to set up for the meeting, so I did not have time to forward them or put them anywhere else. That's an email from Lisa Sirois, and it has to do with her request. We have already scheduled an appeal of the decision of Siskiyou County Planning Commission that they made on April 21st. It had to do with her Sirois UP 1816, I believe it's a use permit, and she is requesting that the hearing be continued, and I believe it has to do with the fires, the local fires. And she's requesting possibly toward the end of October. And it's up to the board, I said, to agree with that or not.
Anything to add?
Nothing to add. Staff has moved forward as if the appeal hearing would be heard during the initially scheduled date of July 13th, but staff is here for any questions.
But So she's requested October?
As late as possible. She was suggesting toward the end of October.
Thanks, Mr.
Pleasure, Chris.
Mr. Spears, was she wanting us to tour the property as well, or would it be a hearing just before any more chambers?
She has raised her hand, so I would say that she might be the best person to answer that question.
All right, sounds good. Mr. Chair, I'll go ahead and ask the...
What's that? Sirois? Oh, you're unmuted.
Ms. Sirois?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can. I hope you can hear me.
Okay.
Lost my voice a little bit. Were you
can
asking
you hear me
this?
Now?
Yes.
Hi, I would like to request a continuance to a later date. First of all, staff has been working really hard on our appeal, and we still need some information from them to make our deadline for our presentation, which is in 2 days. And I just want to thank Kirk and Rachel for their hard work. Rachel's been working with emergency services, so she hasn't been available. We also requested a site visit from any of the board. That would be wonderful if you could do that. But right now, there is a forest closure order in the area, and we just wanted to wait and see about the fire and see, you know, we're spared, but we just wanted to wait and see and do this at a more appropriate time where we can be more prepared for our hearing. And if you guys did want to come out to see our property, that would be wonderful. We wanted to wait until after fire season. And I just wanted to also say, and I know this is probably going on the way to the hearing, but we do not want to do any events during a time where the conditions are so bad. So that is really what I want to say. And thank you for listening, and just thank you for everything. That will be it for me for now. Thank you.
Mr. Skierski, can you remind the board, is this a one-time event, an annually occurring thing?
So this would be a use permit to allow a 4-day event per calendar year. So it would be one event per calendar year.
Is that approved annually or?
No, it's a use permit, so it would run in perpetuity.
And how's that reviewed or revoked?
There are a series of conditions of approval, approximately 32, I believe. So violation of those conditions of approval would give staff the ability to bring forward a revocation of that use permit.
Do you have objection to waiting until October as requested?
No, staff does not necessarily have any objection. Just to reiterate, we were preparing for the July 13th deadline. That required us to get items into our Questee software system last Friday.
So procedurally, council, do I need a motion to entertain October, or where am I here?
Yeah, I would, since it's scheduled, I would do a formal motion to continue it.
Okay.
Before that, I just want to say that I did view that property just a week prior to the fire.
I have a question for you. With regard to, I heard you say you were still waiting for information. What entities are you still waiting for information from?
Am I still?
Yes.
You can still hear me? Yes, we wanted to see the staff report in its entirety to see if how many of our conditions were added to the staff report. And these conditions are conditions about event timing, also about fire danger ratings, and other safety conditions that we have added in order to make our event as safe as possible. And since I have not seen the staff report, I wanted to go further into those conditions, and I'm not exactly sure if they're in the staff report or not, because I have not seen the staff report as of yet. Staff has been very, very busy.
So has staff provided that information yet or not?
So the staff report for the July 13th meeting has not been released to the public. I believe the clerk tries to publish that on Friday.
Typically, we publish on Thursdays if we can, publish the agenda on Thursday, but due to this being an appeal and Thursday is the deadline to get paperwork in, it'll probably post on Friday, coming Friday for the July 13th.
This staff report is also fairly unique in that the project planner, Rachel Jarrett, was called over to work with emergency services in the EOC, so she provided a bulk of the appeal staff report work in which I finalized late last week.
So is there a reason that isn't released to the applicant or the...
It is intended, the draft staff report is going to be sent to the applicant later today. Just staff was here at the board meeting early this morning.
Okay, and clarification on the use permit and perpetuity, does it go with the property once it would be approved or not?
Yes, just like any standard use permit, it runs with the land in perpetuity.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
And the conditions would not allow for having an event during severe fire conditions, such as this year.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board? I'm going to make a motion to continue this October. I think it's only right to do so given the situation staff is under.
Can we get a date, though, in October? I can't see the calendar. If we could see what the two board meetings are in October.
Quite done yet.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
The other circumstance is the fact that the area is under a closure order, and I know the applicant has requested board members be able to go out there on site on their own to be able to see that, which they can't do that currently. So, do we have a date?
The two regular board meetings in October are the 5th and the 19th.
Fairness?
5th would be acceptable, unless board suggests otherwise.
I make the motion for the 19th.
19th, okay. And what we did before was 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as could be heard, correct?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. All right, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you.
You need a break, Wendy?
Yeah, if we could take a couple minutes, that'd be nice.
We're going to recess for 5 minutes.